I am wondering, anyone who is not at the first service, could anyone tell me in February 1979 what song was chop-topping the charts? Could anyone have a guess? I will, if you weren't in the first service, there's like a cheeseburger in it for you. Those guys have suits on. I think it was at church that they recorded that video. That song is Le Freak by Chic. You probably heard it lots, but it's hard to believe that Cochrane Alliance was established in the middle of the disco era. So I want to invite some true disco cats to come and join me on the platform. Some people who were here right on or right around when Cochrane Alliance first met on February 4th, 1979. So those of you who are being interviewed, you want to come and join me on the platform. And I would like you to help me welcome Kent and Lorraine Lang, Brian and Ginny Winter, and Joy McKinnon to the platform. Would you welcome them here this morning? Here's a mic. Lorraine, I think you're going to be up first.
I'm first?
No, you're going to be there soon. We'll get someone else. I freaked her right out. Okay, so I just want to preview. When we discussed our interview this past week, I said, hey, I'm thinking about 15 minutes, so that's about 2 to 3 minutes each. And we were about a half an hour of interview this morning. So we're going to try, but there are some fantastic stories that you need to hear about the life of our church. And so these first four people were among the people, there's something called charter membership. When a new church is established with a denomination, there are some people that like sign their name and say, hey, I'm here and I'm in and I am at the ground level of what we're doing as a church. The Winters and the Langs are among those people. And they're not on the platform this morning, but I'd like you to give a special welcome to Mike's parents, Marv and Grace Potker. Can you guys stand so we can welcome you this morning? I believe I saw your names in blood on the charter thing as well. So I hope you brought your check and an offering because that's required of you this morning. And last but not least is Joy McKinnon. Joy wasn't here at the beginning of 1979, but by the end of the year, she was part of the family and has been here ever since. And our goal is, because lots of us weren't there at that time, is just to hear a little bit about what God was doing in those early years and into the 80s. So Brian, I want to start with you. Just give us a little sense of what it was like to be part of the church when it was being established. What did that feel like? So,
the feeling we had as a young couple was a feeling of belonging and faithfulness to a new group of believers that had one goal in mind, being a Christ-filled church. In the early days, I would classify the 44 chartered members as one large family. Whether it was at the gym at the Cochrane High School, setting up chairs in the morning, hauling hymn books and PA equipment in the back of our cars, typing and making bulletins on a hand-operated Gestetner, which was in her basement, Ginny and I did Sunday after Sunday, or Sunday school supplies, we all did it for the glory of God. This was done every week for 7 years when we were in the Cochrane High School. We had to deal with the high school mascot, a snake known as the Cobra, which was painted on the wall, which was over the shoulders of Pastor Gary White and Rick Monroe as they preached, and we continued in the gym for the Sundays. Now, as we went to set up the chairs, we didn't know what the night before was what was held in the gym. Was there a dance or anything else that we had to clean up from? Though it was all for the glory of God, we were there for 7 years, and we almost had full reign of the church. Where we held a full reign of the school, where we held church, Sunday school, and concerts. One of the stories of the early days, that it was Christmas concert time, and Ginny and I were to play Mary and Joseph. But being in the emergency services, I was called out just before the concert began, and Joseph was played by the first person that arrived through the doors. And the concert went on without missing a beat. And I'd like to thank Wally Irons for filling in. In the mid-1980s, God was faithful again, and we purchased the 1.75 acres on Glenbow Drive. The parcel of the land that we purchased was originally a plan for an apartment block, but God had other ideas. The deal didn't materialize, and here we are today on the best location in town for a church. We started building with volunteers, and the weather that we started out with was like the weather this weekend. It was cold. We framed the walls of the church in a town-owned building, thanks to some of the people that actually worked for the town, and we then transported the walls on a flatbed truck over to the site here. We had lots of fun building the church in the first phase. Our construction foreman at the time was a chartered member. He also, when he came, he wore a ragged and holy jacket. We as volunteers took up a love offering and bought him a new jacket. One Saturday morning, we had a dedication where we burnt his jacket on an open fire. Unbeknownst to us, in the pocket of the jacket were 22 shells. When they went off, Pastor Monroe at the time was standing around the fire. He thought he was being shot at and hit the ground and stayed there for quite a while. Well, we all started laughing, and that morning we were pretty useless. God has blessed us over these 40 years. We have made an impact in the community, across Canada, and around the world. Men and women and children have been saved, and we won't know the full extent until we get the glory.
Thank you, Brian. So, Lorraine, same question. What was it like to be part of the church in those early years?
You also asked, is there a specific story that illustrates that feel? I chose that one, and then I started over 25 times to tell my story. My stories are too long, and I cut them out, and I sing just about nothing, which is good. It gives the others more time. I was here in 1969, so we had been in Cochrane. We came as a young couple, married 2 years. We'd been in Cochrane 10 years already. In that 10-year period, there we had to find a church to go to. There was not one that we felt comfortable with in Cochrane. And so we, of course, went to the city. We tried Foothills Alliance for a while. That didn't work. We ended up in a Baptist and went there faithfully for many years. In that 10-year period, Cochrane grew, and people moved from the city, and Foothills Alliance people moved into Cochrane. And meantime, let me say, there were Bible studies here in Cochrane. They were an interdenominational flavor, but the leaders had been part of Foothill, or were part of Foothills Alliance, but that never came out. It was Bible study and love the Lord together. And so we did a fellowship right here in town. But Sundays, it was into Calgary, take our kids into Calgary, take our kids' friends into Calgary, hoping that we would maybe be able to get some parents to come along into Calgary, which never happened. So as I say, Cochrane was growing, and Alliance people came in, including Marvin Grace Potker, who we became very good friends with. God connected us in different ways. Jenny has a different story of how she connected with those people. And that was part of the Bible study group, and the big Bible study group became more and more Alliance, and really soon, and I was not initiating this, but Kent had been Alliance before we got married, and up north we had been in Baptist because there was no Alliance, so we moved here. It was fine. It was good. I knew there needed to be a church here, and I was all for that. And so being part of those studies, prayer times, and connecting was wonderful. Now, fast forward, I just go right into 1979 has happened, and we can now attend church right here in Cochrane. But I had such an establishment in Calgary, it was hard to realize that was finished. It was wonderful to walk across the schoolyard to attend church. and not have to drive. It was wonderful to invite our children's friends to come to church and have their parents start following, and some of those parents found the Lord, have gone on with the Lord since then. It was wonderful just to be in our community and have our own church. But the bittersweet part of my story was I was teaching a class of grade 6 girls in the city. They were 11 years old. By this time, I'd had them a year and a half, and we'd bonded very much. And I didn't want to tell them that I'm not going to be your teacher anymore. I'm not going to come to Calgary anymore. And I struggled with that, but I wanted them to hear it from me. So I said a little chorus, I am needed now to live for Jesus Christ in my community, to live for him alone and not be overthrown and live in purity. And I'm explaining to them how important it was to have a church here in Cochrane. And this one little girl, Melissa Nix, says, Mrs. Lang, her dad was a printer. My dad's going to print up invitations to that church in Cochrane. And we're going to come out, and we're going to help you deliver to every door, and then you're going to come to church here. So that was the bitter part of the sweet, sweet story. God is to be glorified. God, it was behind this church. And as you hear the rest of the rest and look at the pictures, you will be amazed at the many little connections that have taken place to make us a reality today. And
thank
I'm
you,
the
Lori.
Shortest one.
So, Kent, I know that any time a church is seeking to begin and then move forward, there are times when we say we've got to exercise our faith. So was there a time that you remember that your faith really was stretched and you saw God work as a result?
I can remember when we constructed this church. And those days they call the satellite church, one in High River, Strathmore, Airdrie, or Cochrane.
There was all the same design for all those
same,
churches.
Same design, mm-hmm. The drawing the same, except the external. It could be stucco, siding, it varies, but inside the same. And I was coordinating electrical and heating, and where heating is very simple, and electrical is a little different, because we couldn't get a heating. We have a Walter Freeler from First Alliance. He had a large company in Calgary. And on Saturday morning, a lot of volunteer tradesmen comes in from the city. And Walter used to bring about 4 or 10 tradesmen to come in and install the radiator, the baseboard. And before the we can't finish the drywall because electrical wire is not there. We wait for a master electrician to get a permit for us. So we've been praying, you know, very quite often. And also the one Saturday morning, there's a 4 electrician come in from Calgary, and there's I asked them, any one of you got master electrician license? There's a little guy, Frank, and I think he's from Foothills also. And he said, so I just gave him the drawing of the whole church. You know, he get the permits and everything. That's how we started. God answered our prayer. But one high Saturday, I remember, we have coffee break. The most famous pie is in Cochrane. The construction, I remember. Everybody come because the pie, you know. So God answered a prayer to, so we cannot finish the drywall because we did heating, everything is in. Just wait for electrician. Then finally Frank came and took over, and think God really answered our prayer.
Awesome. Thank you. So Joy, can you tell us, were there some times in those early years where you really saw God move, and how did that happen? And tell us a little bit how you got connected, because I know it's a little bit after these guys.
Yeah, I came a little later. We had lived in Fort McMurray, and then we came down to Calgary, and we lived in Calgary for 3 months and built a house on an acreage. which was north of Cochrane, and we had been going to a little church in Calgary for 3 months, and I was raised Pentecostal. Anybody else out there? So it was a little Pentecostal church.
There was not one amen. There was not one amen out there.
Where's my Pentecostal friends? Anyway, so now we're here in Cochrane. It's like, oh, where do we go to church? And it seemed like a long way back into the city. Back then, it was a long way back into the city. The city didn't come out this far. And I'd seen an ad in the paper for this little church that was meeting in the high school. And so we decided to go there. And we walked in the doors, and there was 35 to 40 people. Kent and Lorraine were there, and Brian and Ginny. Lorraine was at the piano, I remember. And these people welcomed us, and we just, this is it, we're going to stay. And so that's my how I came here. And looking back, as how did God work? Well, you know, just these stories about this little group of people deciding that we're going to build. And just having the vision to do that. And of course, you understand it wasn't this church. It was like as big as a foyer and a bank of classrooms on the other side. It was pretty small, but we thought it was a palace because we had been in the high school and sometimes in the community center, which is a little dungy down in the bottom. It was an old community center. So God brought us into our new place. And just to see that vision of people moving forward to that. And the second thing is God moving was that I was involved in children's ministry because my kids were little. And so I was doing Sunday school and vacation Bible school. And I did that for 8 years in this church. And we would gather together like 30 people out of this tiny church to run vacation Bible school. And Lorraine would direct the skits, and Kent did the artwork for our backdrops for the skit and for the invite outdoor, the big banner outdoor. And kids came. Like, we had 100 plus kids every year come to hear the gospel. And I said early in the earlier service, we have no idea when we plant seeds where they're going to sprout and grow. And maybe in eternity we'll get to hear that. But just the opportunity to run those vacation Bible schools. We did children's church in the evenings at one point in time. And we had in special events like Marilee Dawn, the ventriloquist. She came with her puppets and the gospel clowns, if anybody remembers that event.
I think people have nightmares from clowns now.
Yeah. These are friendly clowns. They quoted Bible verses. And there was kids come to the Lord at those events. So that was to me, was God really moving in those early years. And we had gone through some rough times in the early years. And then in 1986, Stephen Winnell's Zub came from Vancouver with two little children. And they began pastoring here, and the church grew. And it was a time of excitement and growth. July 1st, 1989, many of you know, Winnell was killed in a car accident on her way home from work at the foothills. And that was a pretty earth-shattering experience for us here in the church. But just the hand of God on us as we continued on, and we didn't fall apart. We rallied around Pastor Steve, and the church went on, and in a year and a half, God gave Pastor Steve Audrey, and they were married, and suddenly she was a mom of three kids, and again,
heard stories, Joy, that the attendance of single young ladies in the church increased for a while after, until Steve got married.
I have no doubt. Yeah. The whole Steve and Audrey thing is a funny story. But anyway, how they got together. God's plan, obviously. And so the church just rallied around. And I remember Steve saying that the district superintendent said to him, "Steve, churches don't do well with this. I'll move you." And Steve said, "No, you don't have to do that. My church is going to be fine." And we were. When he brought Audrey to meet us, we lined up across the foyer, which was the back entry, to welcome Audrey to our church and to be Steve's wife. And that was just awesome how God moved and how people didn't go into bitterness and resentment. And we just carried on serving the Lord.
All right, Joy, I'm gonna give you. You're gonna stop give time me? For Ginny yet. So,
okay, Ginny.
Thank you, Ginny. If you could go back and talk to yourself as a woman in her mid-20s in the late 70s, early 80s, and kind of be able to give some perspective of all you've seen over the years, what would you go and tell yourself then?
And what would surprise me the most?
You and Lorraine make sure that I ask the precise question. And what would surprise you the most?
Because that's where I want to start. So two things I think would surprise me the most. How much I've really grown up, not in stature, but certainly mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, alongside my church and my community. And even though changes happened all around me, and through the years, there are some things that just haven't and won't ever change. So ways that change has occurred. Back in 1979, the town of Cochrane, just to put it into perspective, was 2,308 people. Cochrane Alliance were 44 people, 17 of which were children, about 2% of the town's population. There were four churches becoming active, United, Anglican, Catholic were the oldest, and the Baptist was coming in, and we were just being born, lots of growing to come. Three areas of town, East End, what we call the East End, Cochrane Heights, and downtown. God opened up our location to meet as a body of believers there at the Cochrane High School. A portable, Cochrane Heights, on a hill. We were going to be a beacon. By 1980, there was approximately 2,500 people in the town, and Cochrane Alliance grew to 47 children attending Sunday school and 50 adults attending the worship and teaching time. We almost doubled our growth in 1 year. I've seen those people grow up, move away, and even some of them pass away. And some have even returned back to their Cochrane roots, as in Pastor Mike. Brian and I often reminisce our times together and the impact that they had in our lives and in our children's lives. In 1980, I was 26 years old. I was married and we had one child. I was a university student. And we grew through the years from 2 to 5, so we had 5 children, to 10, and now we are 22. So I guess we're a small tribe. I have changed my career 3 times. I've been a homemaker, a teacher, and an accounting payroll with the clerk with the town of Cochrane currently. And through all those years of growth and change, I can say that the purpose in my life has never wavered. I was to bring honor and glory to God and to be able to live life so that it would draw others for that same purpose. I didn't say this in the first service, but Joan Winter sitting back in the corner over there, her husband and herself were one of the pastors in our lives, and they actually married Brian and I, but very instrumental, how people are so instrumental in the lives of each other, and they had a huge impact in my life. God has been faithful every step of the way in going before me, walking beside me, and prodding me along life's journey. It hasn't always been easy raising our children. That wasn't without trials, for sure, both physically and emotionally. Changing jobs, loss of relationships. But undergirding it all was my Cochrane Alliance Church family. They were upholding me in prayer and in very practical ways. Not all of our children or friends that we made through the years are walking with God today, but we believe that He is still at work, and in drawing them close to Himself, and that in His time they will come to know Him. As has been said, we worshiped in the school portable. We worshiped in the high school gym. We used their library. We worshiped in individual homes, the parks, the restaurants, the town community hall. Our current site in what was the old foyer, and the bank of classrooms on the west side. And now currently we are in our over $4 million building. We can praise God for that. We've celebrated births and deaths, baptisms, weddings, child dedications, and lots of seasonal events over the years together. But that has not changed. We still do those things today as a body of believers. The overall abiding themes of my 1980 life, that music, family, growing and doing life together with our fellow Cochrane Alliance Church families, building and maintaining relationships, being God-focused and centered. I grew exponentially in my faith as I served in both the church and in the community. I learned that when we love Him and are working towards the same purpose with His guidance, that lives are won for Christ's kingdom. Fast forward to 2018, Cochrane's now 27,960 people. And today in Cochrane Alliance, Daniel tells me we're between 350 and 400 families attending. That's 350 adults and about 150 kids. Have we ever grown? And again, we really have not changed or wavered from those themes of 1980. We're still ever growing, God-focused and centered. We're still building relationships with those that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. And we still do life together through all kinds of ministries where we can serve both Cochrane Alliance and our community. We're still seeing lives won to Christ, and He remains the same yesterday, today, and He will forever. He's brought us to where we are today. So what would I tell myself, my 1980 self? Hasn't life been full? Isn't life good? And isn't it amazing how God has been continuously at work in my life and in our community? Just look around and see how God has been at work in good times and in the not so good times. How He has encouraged us, strengthened us, disciplined us, and enabled us to keep running the race. I'd also tell myself to keep asking and seeking God for His plan to be fulfilled in my life, to keep reaching out to those around me, to use my gifts and my talents, my resources, to keep open and be teachable, changeable, but more than anything, stay grounded and rooted in absolute truth, God's word. Life is a journey this side of heaven, and my investment in people will be the most rewarding and fulfilling investment eternally. Keep the faith. God has allowed people to come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And when we figure out which one of those they kind of people they are, then we'll know what we need to do for each one of them, and thereby bring honor and glory to God. And lastly, I would remind myself to be thankful that God has kept me close to Him, that He's been able to use me and my family to impact those around me. So keep on keeping on in journeying with Him, because when my life ends, it will have been well worth it.
Thank you. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to the church in that city, and he says, hey, I want you to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you, who teach you. And I want us to recognize these folks, but I also just want to invite those of you who are out there who've been part of this family for 30 years or more. So if you were here in the 80s, that counts. And we would just like to acknowledge the ways that you've served, probably in every possible way there is to serve, how you've given sacrificially over four decades, how you've prayed for us, cared for us, and really you are the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which this church was built, but you are in the foundation of who we are. It's not bricks and mortar, it's in the people and the ministry that we do. So if you've been here since the 80s, could you just stand among us? I know there's a few of you besides Marvin Grace that are here. Yes, a few at the back. Marvin Grace, you got to stand again. Could we just honor these people who've been with us that long? Thank you very much for sharing your stories, folks. It helps put a perspective on where we've got today.